Zena, welcome.
Thank you so much, Mike.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Zena Murray is, for another little over a month, the chief cook and bottle washer for the Logan Square Kitchen. We are going to get into that story in just a little bit, so hang on. But if you have a question or a comment about business in Chicago, business is what we're talking about. And it's small businesses, but also, you know, it's the whole issue is confused a little bit by the confusing nature of the business you tried to run. I mean, because we can talk about small businesses in general. But your business was particularly interesting and a little confusing to some people, especially in the bureaucracy, who didn't seem to get it.
Yeah, I think the short description of what happened to us is innovation met an environment of fear and ignorance in City Hall. And
fear and loathing. We need Hunter S. Thompson here, okay? Because there was no small amount of loathing there, too, as far as I've been able to determine. This is a perfect song, actually, to play while talking about the Chicago city bureaucracy. You know, I just get the feeling that they stand and they look around and they don't know where they are. I have Zena Murray in studio, who is the proprietor of Logan Square Kitchen. By the way, I've gotten some tweets here. One of them that the Sierra Club is buzzing again about what's going on at Starved Rock, and I hope you will all get involved in that and write to the IDNR and IEPA. And as I mentioned earlier, Green Soil, she says she's listening to Mike Novak radio show from the Left Coast. Great way to start your Sunday morning. I agree. I think it's a good way to start your Sunday morning, especially if you're concerned about issues. And you know what? We're not talking NATO today. Isn't that nice? Not to have to talk about NATO at all. You know, it's out there, but guess what? There's other issues. There's other issues like, how do small businesses survive in the bureaucratic climate that has been set up in the city of Chicago? All right, we need to go back for, because there are people who are listening who probably don't know the whole story here, Zena. But the idea was, several years ago, you set up this, what is called a shared-use kitchen, meaning that you weren't necessarily, it's not a restaurant, okay? You bring in small cooks, chefs, people who sell food products, and they prepare them in your space. Go ahead.
That's right, Mike. The Logan Square Kitchen is what's called a shared-use kitchen or a food business incubator. It is set up to accommodate small businesses that can rent kitchen time by the hour or day or month. And you can start a food business in a legal, safe kitchen long before you could afford to build a commercial kitchen yourself and take all that financial risk on. So it's a way for small food businesses to get started without all that risk and all that capital that's so far away from so many people right now.
And I looked back over my records yesterday as I was putting this information together, and I can't believe that it's more than 2 years since shared use kitchens got on my radar. And you know, I'm late to the party, but that was when Kitchen Chicago had the inspectors come in and destroy thousands of dollars worth of food, and that's where I first got involved with this issue. And then I met you later on. But Kitchen Chicago, if you remember, I talked about this a couple of years ago. It was in January of or February of 2010, and the inspectors came and they destroyed the food, not because of a health issue, because of a licensing issue. And that sort of set the tone for what happened with you, because you got health, you got inspected by health inspectors, and you would get like 19 times a year at one point.
It was 19 times in 2 years.
It 19 times in 2 years. Okay, to be fair here. Okay. But you were also dealing with licensing issues. And so what was the problem? Why did the city not seem to be able to help you survive?
Well, first of all, the city isn't one person. The city has hundreds of people mm-hmm. that work in lots of different departments and have different responsibilities. I'd say that up until very recently, in the past administration, saying no to different ideas or innovative things or things that weren't really completely understood was the safe answer for a bureaucrat to make. To say, we're going to say no to this, we don't understand it, and we're not going to take any risk because, you know, Mayor Daley was kind of a punitive mayor. I mean, you made a mistake and, you know, he would bring the hammer. So that's the kind
would he,
of...
Would he go after... Personally, go after?
Well, I mean
go after like, specific businesses?
I feel like after – no. I'm talking about the city employee. If you look at the porch collapses and the nightclub disasters and things like that, after those things took place, there was a – nothing must ever happen like this ever again. You know, more stiffer regulations put in place. And people that worked for the city – you know, got afraid. And I'm not going to be the one that says yes to something that turns out to be the next problem in the city the mayor gets mad about.
Mm-hmm.
So in fairness to those folks. But I think what I want to say is it's just as, you know, a lot of city employees had something about our business come across their desk, whether they were in the Department of Business Affairs, in the health department, in the zoning department. And those people all would stand up today and say, I did my job. If you were able to talk to Boy Edelizzi in the Department of Business Affairs, I'm sure the city wouldn't let you. She'd probably be very adamant that she tried to help us and that she had nothing to do with the fact that we're closing now. But all those people just doing their job created more and more red tape to cover their own butts. And so we're left twisting in the wind day after day, month after month, staring at a bank mortgage. I mean, we bought this building. We renovated it to LEED Gold certification.
It was beautiful. You just did a magnificent job.
And the good news is that the neighborhood is going to have a wonderful restaurant in that space. You know, we've signed a lease with the owners of the Chicago Diner, which is a vegetarian restaurant in Lakeview that's been a wonderful business for 30 years. They're going to open their second location in our building.
Well, that's a good handoff there.
And so, you know, we renovated a building beautifully. We're putting a wonderful tenant in it that will be great for Logan Square and great for the neighborhood. And as far as I'm concerned, the kitchen really hopefully is pulled some focus and started to help people that work for the city understand that saying no can be just as dangerous for you as saying yes. I want to hold people accountable for the decisions that they made. You didn't think about what was right for the city. You know, I'd have to say that I've experienced behavior at the hands of people who work for the city of Chicago that would have gotten them fired on the spot in the private sector.
773-763-9278 if you want to weigh in on this. And again, the upshot is Logan Square Kitchen is closing. You're going to turn it over to Chicago Diner. I was with you in court last year when which was really interesting when, you know, they brought these violations. The health department said, you did this wrong. And you said, no, we didn't. Here's the pictures. And the judge threw it out. But that was just one of many that you were all the time. You had to go down to City Hall all the time, didn't you?
Well, I think that, you know, when you talked about the Kitchen Chicago food destruction, the inspector that destroyed that food was taken off out of the field, but mm-hmm. he has since been placed and detailed in the Department of Business Affairs, where he now reviews the applications of shared kitchens. And I've been
so they just shuffle around bureaucrats in the city. No matter what you do, you're not going to lose your job. You can put people out of business. You can harass them. You can some of this did amount to harassment on the part of the city versus you, and it might not have been and I think it's because of what you said, the culture of no, we can't possibly say yes.
Well, that and you have supervisors and assistant commissioners and deputy commissioners that don't fire people that should be fired.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a meritocracy in City Hall. People don't lose their jobs for abhorrent behavior unless it becomes so public and so outrageous. And so we end up with small businesses that are afraid to speak up because they've got to keep their business open. And mm-hmm. these folks have a lot of power. You saw the project I was given because I pushed back against a health supervisor who gave me a punitive inspection. And I fought that and I got my record, you know, expunged and I got the attention of the health department in that respect. But, you know, that's a month-long project that's taking me away from building my business, finding new customers, generating revenue mm-hmm. so I can build a successful, vital business. And that that problem, you know, with the guy that destroyed Food at Kitchen Chicago, he's still in City Hall. He's still creating a great deal of difficulty making up his own health code, not listening to his supervisors. And I'm sending in accounts of terrible behavior on his part every single week to the commissioner of the health department. And I'm not in a position any longer to be able to wait for these problems to be fixed. My family's at risk financially with the ownership of this building, and I needed to take care of our family. So, you know, I saw no end in sight, and I thought, well, you know, it's time for us to close. And I think in many ways the Logan Square Kitchen will help small businesses continue to help small businesses long after it's closed, maybe even more than when it was open, because we're an example and we're something that brings up hopefully the conscience of some folks in City Hall to say. And I think the mayor really, was the victim of some unfortunate timing.
I want to get into this because this is something that you've posted on. And I have my issues with Mayor Rahm Emanuel. When you talk about bureaucracies and I look at the people, as you were saying right now, who get shuffled from one position to another and the agency stays alive. What's the agency that disappeared? The Department of the Environment. And I go, oh, okay. So all the other agencies survive and the bad people in them survive and move around. But the one agency that I thought was doing some real good is the one that disappears. So there's my issue. But I do want to talk about what happened, because a month ago, Mayor Rahm Emanuel came to your restaurant, stood there and said, we're going to help small businesses. We're going to streamline the process of licensing. And a month later, you're closing your doors. And I want to talk about that. I need to break here, but I'm going to talk about that evolution. So Zena Murray from Logan Square Kitchen on what went down. That's coming up next on the Mike Novak Show. Zena Murray from Logan Square Kitchen is in the studio with me. We got a couple of tweets here, one of which is I hate to hear that Logan Square Kitchen had to be closed due to stupid politics, but I'm so glad to hear about Chicago Diner Number 2. So, you know, I'm so glad that you were able to work that out, Zena. That is cool. And then also a tweet about Dig in Chicago, my new television show. Congrats, but she's been out of the loop. Can you talk about where I can see past episodes? Why, of course I can. Go to mydiginchicago.com and you can see episodes. Dig in. We just shot three more episodes this past week. One out to Ball Hort, out in that was in Elburn, Illinois, and saw their new Boost vegetables, more antioxidants, and they told us how they did that, and that was cool. Went out to Midwest Trading and saw them how they blend their mixes for rooftop gardens. Just lots of fun. So we continue to have a great time with Dig in Chicago. But back to the story of the Logan Square Kitchen and other – how many shared-use kitchens are there now left in the city? Just one?
Well, I think there's – Kitchen Chicago is the only one that's dedicated its primary business model as a shared kitchen. There are other folks that have gotten shared kitchen supplemental licenses to have one or two people sharing their kitchen with them. The Washburn Culinary Academy has a shared kitchen at their school.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when kitchen shared kitchens first came on the city's radar, there were the Logan Square Kitchen and Splice were both operating, and neither of us will be operating. You know, Splice is not operating now, is my understanding, and mm-hmm. will be closing at the end of June. So I think as soon as shared kitchens came on the city's radar and they decided we've got to get our arms around this and regulate it properly and keep people safe, they really kind of started to – the noose starting to tighten a little bit.
And how many businesses are going to be scrambling to find places to work because you're closing down?
Well, we have approximately 20 businesses, and some of them – you know, might work once a month. Some of them work every day. So there are various sizes. one of the things that was important to me is to give those people as much notice as I could. And so, you know, I was able to give the clients 45 days notice, and I'm actively involved in helping them connect with other kitchens where they might work. And
out of the city? I mean, the city going to lose business here because of this?
Well, yeah. I mean, anything that causes a small food business to have to stop everything they're doing to find a new place to live unexpectedly takes a big toll. Small businesses, and really, you know, I was going to say right before the break, you know, a lot of people are drawing a straight line between, you know, Mayor Emanuel's press conference in our place a few weeks ago and our closure. And quite honestly, you know, 2.5 years ago, the licensing folks and the zoning folks dug a really deep hole for us, and we've never really been able to climb out
of it. So let's talk about that hole. The hole, first of all, was they didn't understand the nature of your business, really, because they thought you were either a restaurant or then they thought you were going to be a banquet hall, and you kept saying, no, this is how it works. We're going to have these. So then that was a problem. The other problem then became the businesses that came into your establishment, there was a question of whether their home licenses, their home addresses were your establishment or their own, right? Wasn't that one of the issues?
Well, I guess, yeah, there's issues for the Logan Square Kitchen's licensing situation and then for the people who use it. Mm-hmm. So those are two separate, if you could call parallel tracks of torture going on at the same time.
But that's the point. I mean, you and I were talking off air here about how complex this whole story is.
It's very hard for folks to understand. And most people don't want to believe that their government really actively works against good citizens. And so a lot of folks will say to me, why would they do that to you? There must have been some reason. There must have been some good reason that this happened. People just don't do things this hurtful. And unfortunately, they do sometimes. And I think it happens because people are really afraid. People aren't qualified to hold the jobs they hold. They don't understand the consequences of the actions they're taking. And so these things happen. And hopefully, I mean, I've had some people call up and say, we need to get politicians involved to save your business. And I say, absolutely not. We're a business. We took our chance. We're closing. Nobody needs to bail us out. But what government does need to do is look at how to support people that are going to come along after us. There's a wonderful shared kitchen plan for the plant down in the back of the yards.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an amazing food business incubator. That's the vision.
I've been there and I've had the plant people on the show here.
And it's a tremendous vision to take these hulking, empty, decaying industrial buildings and turn them into food incubators.
But are they going to run into the same problems that you've had?
Well, hopefully the Logan Square Kitchen makes things easier for the plant. I mean, they can hold up this example and say, if you guys keep messing with us and throwing boulders on the railroad tracks, guess what? And I said this in the press conference at our place when the mayor was there. I said, you know, if you're going to try to micromanage entrepreneurs or innovative businesses, they're either going to fold or they're going to move. So that's what you get. And I think the big problem here is that all the bureaucrats that stood in our way don't feel any connection from the choices they made and our business closing. And I'm here to say you made choices 2.5 years ago that really set up this outcome that we're having today. And you need to connect those dots because it's a pretty short walk between a vital business community and that bureaucrat's salary, pension, and benefits. If we don't have a good economy in Chicago, that person's job is in jeopardy, and they don't understand that just like we talk about in sustainability, we're all connected, and the city's behaving in a way that's not sustainable. It's destroying the resources upon which it depends. And so it needs to change and look at ways to support small business.
Yeah, but okay, let's go back again. I mean, we talked about some of the licensing issues you had and the confusion over what kind of a business you were, and some of those got resolved. But then the health inspectors came in and they were inspecting you within an inch of your life and disrupting your schedule. But a year ago, City Council passed this new shared-use kitchen ordinance. Why didn't that solve everything?
Well, the devil's in the details. And when you look at the way a law is passed, there's some choices about how the law is implemented. And people like, you know, with the exception of the new business affairs commissioner, who's a new person, all the other people that work in the licensing group in City Hall are all the same people that have been there for years. When a new mayor comes in, he appoints a new cabinet, and either those folks keep the people that are there, or they clean house, or they do a little bit of both. And mm-hmm. right now, the people in business affairs are the same people that were there under Daley that caused all of our difficulties.
So it's not the laws.
It's the people.
It's the people.
Yes.
So you can have all the greatest laws in the world, and if the people enforcing them don't understand them or are stubborn or, you know, are roadblocks themselves, you will not have an efficient system.
That's exactly correct. So one of the examples, the new shared kitchen law has, instead of the regular blue business licenses that every business hangs on their wall, little shared kitchen users get a picture ID badge instead. Now, when you have that kind of a business license for a company, what happens when you have a partnership? What happens when you have three partners that make up that business? What happens when that business has employees that are going to be working when the owner is not there? What happens when that person needs to be out on a sales call? So there's all sorts of problems that are created with this badge. Mm-hmm. I've been very vocal about those problems. That's not changing today, and I'm not getting any feedback that the problem's getting worked on. So that's one example. The health inspections that I had every 3 weeks are gone now, but at the same time, they've been replaced by a health quote-unquote consultation in City Hall for these small food businesses that is being conducted by the same guy that destroyed all the food at Kitchen Chicago and is extremely unprofessional in the way that he will make up requirements for people that aren't in the code anywhere. And I don't know how many times I have to – I've been writing emails and complaining about the difficulties and the incorrect information this guy's giving out for over a year. And I'm not willing to continue to take the risk on, because this guy's not going anywhere. And the person who gave me the punitive inspection last August that I went to court and overturned those, I reported her. She's still working for the city, no consequences. So what happens is these folks keep working where they're working. And until I think that the mayor's ordinance streamline is a huge, wonderful first step. It was really necessary. It was really needed.
Well, let's move to that point. So we went through the licensing issues. We go through the inspection issues. We go through all that. We got a new city ordinance. Not a whole lot changes. And then the mayor gets involved and says, we really want to streamline how small businesses are licensed in the city of Chicago. And he comes to your place in April and has a press conference, and everybody stands up there and they're all shaking hands and you speak and you applaud. Did you know at that point you were going to close?
I did not know when. I've been searching for a restaurant to take over the space for quite some time, very quietly, because I knew that I was not going to be able to continue the physical demands of the job, the difficulties with the city. And so I was negotiating a lease at that time, but it wasn't signed. I didn't know if it was going to happen that time. I'd had other conversations that hadn't borne fruit. So I knew that I was in the process of trying to find a way out, but there was nothing that was certain.
Mm-hmm. So this is where you say that it's kind of unfortunate that Mayor Emanuel was sort of caught by bad timing.
Yes, I was bound by a confidentiality agreement I had signed about the conversations I was having with the Chicago Diner. I couldn't share that information with anyone. And I honestly didn't know if/when that would happen. And when the lease agreement did finally get signed, then I needed to announce right away to give my clients as much time as possible to find a new spot before Chicago Diner comes in. So the realities of giving my clients as much time as possible, not being able to speak up until a deal was signed, were circumstances that kind of caught the mayor. And I think that my personal opinion is this ordinance that was just passed that streamlines licensing is is a wonderful first step. And I think it happened pretty fast, given how many really big problems he has to solve. I have to say, I appealed to Mayor Daley's office a number of times and asked my alderman to talk to Mayor Daley. I heard crickets for, you know, months and months and months.
Mm-hmm.
Mayor Emanuel's office called me last summer, shortly after he was elected, and just wanted to hear about my experience. That blew me away, and I thought, okay, this is really a different administration. The fact that they got this sweeping change done pretty quickly is very encouraging to me. And obviously,
not soon enough to save you, though.
Right.
And the point I guess people are making, and I've said this on this show before, in regard to Mayor Daley, that, you know, and I've always used the recycling issue. He was mayor for 20 years, and if he had wanted recycling, it would have happened, because that's the way mayors of big cities are. They flex their muscles and they throw their weight around and they get things done that way. And Rahm wants to be that kind of mayor. So when I heard about yours, my first response is, hey, why didn't Rahm make it happen? That tell these people, stop harassing this business, because he could do that. And your point is, no, you didn't want that kind of preferential treatment. You want everybody to be treated the same way.
Businesses fail all the time. We have a terrible economy, the worst in 50 years. There's a lot. I mean, the day I announced we were closing, I had emails from four different suburban communities' economic development directors saying, we would love to have your business out here. We really want you to come out. We have buildings for you to look at.
Well, see, but that's a point, too. I mean, I looked at the Reader did this story this past week. A lot of, interestingly, you're getting a lot of coverage on this, okay? And you kind of wish, well, there's been coverage all along because it's just been such an unfair process and the way you've been treated. But I happened to see the Reader's article this week, and then I looked at the comments, and I usually don't read comments after stories because people are idiots and it makes me crazy. Some idiot wrote, it sounds like a lot of hand wringing over some really small businesses. Why do we care? This is why we care, because other cities are now saying, Zena, come on out and work with us. We'll invite you to town and you can help our tax base in a way that Chicago didn't want.
Well, the mayor said that. He said that, you know, small business is the lifeblood of, you know, economic development and job creation in our city. He said that in this press conference at our place. And I agree with him. I think that as we move forward, it's about sitting down and saying, okay, well, how do we prevent this kind of circumstance? How do we support businesses? Because quite honestly, all these different departments made their rulings about the Logan Square Kitchen and what kind of zoning classification it should have, what kind of licenses it should get, before we ever got our construction permit. You know, that's how it works. You go to them, you say, here's what I'm going to do, here's my plans, and every department has to sign off on it. Then you go borrow your big pile of money and sign the medieval personal guarantee with the bank, get your money, and then you go build. We did all that, and then the city reneged on its original decisions and said, oh, we don't understand. You misrepresented this business. This is different than what you said it was going to be. And there was a lot of misunderstanding because the business model was so innovative. So, you know, my parents taught me to stand up, you know, when something isn't right, and that's really when things started to go south for me, is because I spoke up. You know, that's what got me, a lot of this difficulty. And I think there's a lot of people that I've called out for bad service or bad behavior that don't have the emotional resources to stay professional and to do their jobs properly if they feel threatened. And I think that's what happens here quite often. The city's not a meritocracy, and it needs to be. People need to be fired for non-performance. People need to do good jobs. There's a lot of great people looking for work that I'm sure could just, you know, kick some ass for us in terms of city services. Let's go hire them. There's nobody with food backgrounds working in the food protection division of the health department. There's nobody with a food background on the Board of Health right now. Those are things that cause a great deal of difficulty and confusion when you regulate food businesses. So,
well, maybe what Rahm Emanuel should do is hire you to advise him, bring you in. Seriously, why not? You can make some of this stuff happen, or at least give him good advice. for coming into the home stretch of the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Zena Murray from Logan Square Kitchen is in the studio with me. And when you say when you hear this sort of jazzy stuff, it makes you think of the business that you've been in.
Well, I think all brand new startup businesses and entrepreneurs have to improvise every day. You have to be completely flexible. You know, you think of everything you can possibly think of before your doors open, and then the doors open and everything changes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a universal experience for small businesses when they first start. And so everyone, I think, that opens a small business tries to have as many different resources and startup capital available to them so they can be ready to change or adapt to whatever circumstances the market gives them. And unfortunately for us, all of those resources got spent on attorneys and time in City Hall rather than focusing on the marketplace and how to perhaps make our business, you know, best respond to the market.
But you know what? You, in the process, you have become an eloquent spokesperson for small businesses and for shared use kitchens and this innovative approach to food. And you're moving on. And as our tweeter pointed out, you're doing it with such grace. It's you must feel that you've learned something. And there must also be this sort of sigh of relief that now you can move on.
Well, I think there's a great relief that my family's not in financial danger anymore. Having a big commercial mortgage is a very scary thing. Mm-hmm. The banking industry is not a forgiving, partner these days. You've got performance things that you have to achieve. At the same time, the Logan Square Kitchen has been the greatest professional adventure of my life. I could not be more grateful for it. It's going to serve me all the days of my life. And, you know, I ended up having to do things to keep the business going as long as I did that I never expected I would do that have gone to spur more ideas and more wonderful things that other businesses are now doing or that I see happening. You know, when we first did our very first Valentine's Day pastry market in February of 2010, I believe, it was because I was told I couldn't operate an event space, and I needed revenue in the front door, and so I had these bakers in the back, and Valentine's Day was coming, and I had this room, and so it was the mother of necessity that invented that. But now there's all sorts of fun little specialty markets that you see around Chicago that didn't exist 3 years ago. You know, the Dose Market in the River East Art Center, the ladies who started that took, I think, our idea and made it bigger and more beautiful, and a big city like this should have all sorts of wonderful markets and activities and things like that. You know, there's great things like that going on. So I feel great about that. And I also think that people in city government are paying attention to this. I think that the food system loses more than anything does because we still import 90% of the food we eat in Illinois. We export $48 billion a year to buy it. We have some of the greatest farmland and farmers that are ready to grow and sell a much more biodiverse crop for us.
And you know, and that's a really good point, is that you are just part of that whole issue, the local food issue, which I've talked many times on this show about, and the idea that, yeah, we've got to try to keep this industry here where we have some of the richest land in the world.
Well, and I think you're right. The link from the food in the field to, you know, getting to the plate in front of you needs a kitchen in between. And most people don't cook at home anymore, and most people are buying their food from other folks. So shared kitchens are really an important component in healing the food system in Illinois. And if you heal the food system in Illinois, you heal the economy at the same time. So those are two things that – those are two really big problems. And I think for me, I'm much more about looking at the root causes of problems instead of spending time and energy treating symptoms, which is, I think, unfortunately, too often what happens.
You going to rest now or lurch into another project?
Well, yeah. My husband has demanded a rest for a little while anyway. He said we're going to take our first vacation in quite a long time together. We haven't been able to do that. And I am going to take some time and figure out what's next. And whatever it is, I mean, people say it's so sad that this is closing. And you know, I had my grieving process several months back when I really came to terms with the fact that I wasn't going to be able to continue to keep this going. And now I'm trying to let other people have, you know, the time to sort of accept, because we had such a wonderful following and we still
You were
do.
Very well loved. And it's a shame because it was in my neighborhood in Logan Square, and I loved every time I walked in there, and you were just and you actually helped out Chicago Recycling Coalition. You let us do a benefit there. It's a shame we won't be able to do that again. So, and here's my advice to you. If Rahm asks you to work for him, do a freelance basis. Don't get sucked into the machinery of the government. Just say, no, I'll do it on a freelance basis. That's, you know, and make him pay you a lot.
So right? You'll negotiate my contract for me.
You know how bad I am at negotiating contracts? You do not want me doing that. Zena Murray, thank you so much for coming in the studio and telling your story. I hope that there's a catharsis here, you know.
Mike, thank you for everything you've always done for the kitchen and everything you do for green issues in Chicago.
I do my best.